You're listening to the Tech Talks podcast, a podcast by the Technology Education Collaborative. Tech is an Arizona nonprofit that empowers everyday people with useful information about today's extraordinary technology. Today, we're sitting down with Ed Vasco. He's a CISO, a CISSP, and a tech founder and entrepreneur that has been in the Arizona market for about
35 years.
Yeah, 35 years. A lot of you are going to know who he is already, but he agreed to sit down for our What Does a Technologist Do segment. So we're going to give him the same five questions everyone else gets. And as you know, the questions stay the same, but the answers are always surprising.
Yeah, Christine, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. All right. So the first question is, what would you consider your title or position?
Now, I'd probably call myself a tech founder, entrepreneur, old man on the porch.
Old man yelling at clouds?
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. So what is your favorite thing about that?
It's really the journey. You know, it's that old Zen statement, you know, the journey starts with a single step, but it's the journey is the reward. It's the journey of my career, being able to look back now, entering the kind of a new era, so to speak, of my career. But looking back over the journey that I've had is just amazing. Having started five companies, run as CEO or founder, six different companies, and just having enabled so much opportunity and outcome for clients, for employees, for the community as a whole.
Very cool. So that kind of brings me into what does that mean? I mean, that sounds amazing. Do you have specific examples of that? Or what does that look like on a daily basis? If somebody's dreaming about, you know, being the founder of a tech company, what are they doing all day? What does that even look like?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think if I look back over my career, I break it up into a couple different phases. You know, the first phase was early, kind of knowing everything in tech and starting my career 35 years ago, you had to know everything. So a lot of my career was kind of pre-internet, or some of my career was pre-internet, and then the internet. And then I sold my last business to private equity in 2018, and I had the chance to tackle a nationally oriented thesis around workforce development for cybersecurity. We've had consistently for the past two decades such a supply and demand imbalance. We've had so much demand for qualified workers coming into that space and such a low supply. And so I really took it upon myself to say, there's got to be a better way to do this, better outcomes and maybe better solution for the nation. So joined up in a partnership with Boise State University outside of Arizona and spent the past 5 years at Boise State working very diligently with them, growing their cyber pathways and really realigning their entire curriculum around outcomes and bringing an importantly needed experiential learning into higher education. So higher ed for the longest time has spent a lot of its energy in producing a workforce that has good, strong degree pathways.
Sure.
So I come out with a degree. I come out with some type of tech certification, cyber or just general tech certification. And I put my industry leadership hat on and say, that's not enough. That hasn't been enough. What we've needed is that third leg of the stool, which is, you know, experience, real experience, not lab-based, not outcome. You know, it's got to have outcome. It's got to have impact. So the students coming into our industry really understand the consequence of the actions that they're taking when they take on a career in cybersecurity. And so it was the opportunity in that second phase of my career to really hone those that experience that I gained being in cyber, starting businesses, working with Fortune 500, working with Main Street company, you know, Main Street mom and pop shops, and bringing security throughout all of those areas and all of those sectors that I've worked in, bringing that to students and helping engage in the development of that experiential learning platform that we created that really was an industry and kind of market leader. We specifically focused our efforts on rural and underserved communities and helping communities throughout Idaho gain access to a workforce and an understanding and technology that help improve their risk posture, help keep those bad guys away from rural hospitals, rural school districts, rural voting environments at county levels. And in doing that, being able to say, not only did we secure Idaho and became a model for the nation in doing that, we actually helped students gain the critically needed experience so that our employers throughout Idaho actually said, I want to hire those students coming out of that program. And so looking back, I think that's something that really, I think, resonates. And then being able to see that propagation of the program, we see it here in Arizona now. Ryan Murray, who you've had on the show as our state CISO, has really picked up on that and is implementing a very similar kind of model with the community colleges throughout the state and different regions. We see Texas take that on. We've seen other states throughout the union really look at this kind of program and really lean into adding in that experiential learning before students come out. And now that I've left Boise State and come back into industry, it's really being able to take a look back over that 35-year arc and just know the impact that the teams I've built have had. I think that's the really phenomenal thing of this, is not just being able to look back within that one section in higher ed, but looking over the entire arc and just realize the amazing people I've had a chance to work with, the amazing outcomes we've been able to create by helping, you know, again, large businesses, large Fortune 50, Fortune 100, Fortune, you know, Russell 2000 kind of organizations, all the way down into the business community. That I can look back and actually think about the small kosher butcher shop that we helped that was in the LA basin that had a breach, and they lost, you know, significant amounts of data, and the type of impact that they were going to have and the fines that they were facing, and how the team I had at the time was able to come in and help them at reasonable prices in a way that met their needs, met their expectations, and met the outcome so that they could sleep better at night. And that value and that service just warms my heart.
So is that really a big part of it if you are in kind of like that founder role? I assume that's a huge part of it, is just assembling the people around you and figuring out an organizational structure and a workplace environment that works for everyone.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's a realization, regardless of how we look at AI right now, I'm a big believer that it's still a team sport. You've got to be able to assemble the team around you. You've got to be able to assemble the right team with the right members doing the right things, and really have, Simon Sinek talks about having a why, having an outcome that you can point to and say, this is what we're going to do. This is the why we're doing what we're doing, and this is what's going to make us different. Being able to do that in a way, and what I love about cyber as an example, and where my why my career has been here, is that it's a service heart oriented market and industry. It's one where, you know, can you make a good living? Of course. Of course you can make a good living, but it's the why you're doing what you're doing. You're actually protecting individuals. I wake up every day knowing that the teams that I've developed, the companies I developed, the outcomes we drove, weren't just helping those Fortune 500 businesses. More importantly, they were helping the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the great-grandparents, the kids in K-12. They were helping people stay secure, helping people have outcomes that they knew that their information wasn't going to get stolen. They knew, or maybe they didn't know, but more importantly, we knew that their information wasn't going to get stolen because we were diligent, we were on target, we were helping keep those bad guys away.
That's awesome. So you're kind of already touching on this, and maybe you already answered it, but if you have anything to add. So the next question is, what's your favorite thing about your job?
Oh, it's really the outcomes. That's truly what it is to me. It's the knowledge that if you put together a team of great people, great outcomes can happen. And that's what wakes me up every day and keeps me going.
The next question then is, what is your least favorite thing? Because no matter how much you love what you do, everyone's got, you know, there's always just that one thing, right?
Yeah, that's a hard question because I really, truly love what I do. I love building teams. I love building businesses. I love creating outcomes and doing it in a way that provides service. But I'd say it's the 35 years of knowing that however hard we try to do this, there's always another bad thing that's going to happen. I had a great conversation, a great dinner one time with a local CISO many years ago. He's gone on to work in private equity and left Phoenix, but we had this great dinner conversation, and we got to the kind of the philosophical aspect of, are you an optimist or a pessimist?
Sure.
And I just came right out and said, I said, look, I have to be an optimist. I have to be an optimistic person, because if I wasn't, the cynicism would take control and I would just be bitter and I wouldn't want to do this anymore. I truly feel and wake up every day hoping that eventually I won't have a job in this space that will solve this problem of cyber. And I'm optimistic that with enough time and effort we can, but 35 years in, I have to have that glasses half empty and half full perspective. And that half-empty perspective is that we aren't going to solve this. We haven't solved it in 35 years. And that's probably the thing that weighs on me the most, is that we haven't found a solution as an industry. Was mentioning to you before the podcast, Christina, on a worldwide basis, cyber spend is about $200 billion on average, and it's expected to grow to $260 billion. That's what companies are spending. And when you're spending that much money, one, I'd hope we'd be able to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And if we spent $260 billion annually, we may be able to solve cancer.
Right. Hope.
We've spent $260 billion on a worldwide basis on cyber, and we're not solving the problem. We're just defending against the problem. And that's, I think, part of what this next arc of my career will be, is like, how can we solve this problem? Is there a way to solve it?
Sure. So what would the practical thing that someone who's considering kind of being in your position, who wants to be in that sort of like founder space, what would a practical thing that they should do be? I mean, would they get an MBA? Does it matter? Is it, you know, should you have some kind of tech background? If you know that you want to be in the tech space, but you know that you want to do it in like a founder entrepreneurial capacity, what is something practical that they should be thinking about now or doing now?
Developing the thickest skin you possibly can.
I would agree with that.
Yeah,
I would deeply agree with that.
Yeah, it's realizing, you know, it's true. It's true. As a founder, you've got to wake up every day knowing that the direction you're going is unwaveringly the direction you have to go. And just realizing, how's the line going? I think it's the song or the poem, Don't Let the Bastards Drag You Down. I think it's a YouTube song. It's that. It's having that unabashed willingness to say, I'm going to go this direction, and doing so long enough and doing so with enough resiliency personally, professionally, gathering the team around you, having people believe in that same direction and that same vision, and staying in the arena long enough that you win. So that metaphor, kind of at the core of it, is for me personally, comes back into that in the arena. President Theodore Roosevelt had this essay and this kind of speech that he gave, really famous speech in Chicago, and it was a thematic element of the talks he used to give about being the person in the arena. If you never get into the arena and you never get bloodied and you never try, then you're never going to know. The modern, or at least for my generation, you know, the modern translation of in the arena and that message is Yoda saying, there is no try, do or do not. And so you're either in the arena or you're not. And getting into the arena and being in the arena and staying there and maybe losing, but getting back in, that's what matters most.
So it's commitment.
It's commitment. It's resiliency. It's the unwavering willingness to get hit and get back up.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, everything else is just learned, you know, but you have to have that core fortitude to be able to say, I'm going to get in here and I'm going to go in this direction. I'm going to do these things and not do it in the sense of, the quote is attributed to Albert Einstein, which is like doing the same thing and expecting different outcomes as a sign of insanity.
Yeah.
It's doing the things in a direction with purpose, and doing them in a direction and with purpose, knowing that you may have to alter how you get up the mountain, so to speak, to kind of mash a bunch of metaphors together. If you and I can take the same hike and climb the same mountain, you may decide to take a very, very different route, but it's still getting up the mountain.
Yeah.
That's the important thing, is getting up the mountain.
For sure. Okay. And then our final question is just, do you have any personal passion projects or communities you're involved with, or, you know, outside of work? Like, what's something you want to tell us about?
Well, I actually, not local to Arizona, but much like tech and much like the great work that you do, one of the things that I'm a big believer in is having community development, and giving back to the community. So in my time in Idaho, we had a chance to start a nonprofit called Cyber Idaho. And it does a lot of community outreach, community education, very much like what you do. Not as grand and, you know, not as well done as you guys do. Congrats in that regard.
I'm sure it's, well, thank you.
Yeah. But that's certainly a kind of a passion for me. The other is entrepreneurship, leadership, in terms of helping people recognize that you do have that intestinal fortitude. You do have the opportunity. You just have to find it, commit to it, and drive to what you feel passionate about. And so I think that's more me on a personal basis. My wife and I have always been very involved in a number of nonprofits. One in particular is St. Jude you know, the research hospital is really, really...
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's something
phenomenal.
That yeah. Very phenomenal outcomes. My wife in particular, I love what she does. And I just try to support her as much as possible in her commitment there. I think, you know, overall, it's also just helping people understand that there are ways that they can help themselves be secure. We don't have to spend $200 billion annually on a worldwide basis on cyber.
Sure.
And that it's all about how you act and do things online. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. We'll have you back on.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to have you back on for a little bit of a longer episode because I know people are going to want to hear from you.
I appreciate that, Christina. Thank you. And thank you for everything that you're doing.
Oh, thank you. This episode was recorded in the Advanced Cyber Systems Lab at Gateway Community College at the Washington campus. The ASCL is a tech hub open to the general public, so you guys can come on in and you can actually use this very studio for free to record your own podcast. You can 3D print. You can work on our servers. We have a tagline here, if you break it, you do not buy it. So come on in and get some hands-on experience, whether it's 3D printing or installing a new OS.